we want to welcome you to the New Song Podcast, coming to you from beautiful Colorado Springs. We love receiving your prayer requests and comments at newsongcs.com. Thanks for listening as Pastor Stephen Hibden shares an encouraging word of God's love.
Right now, if you open your Bible, if you have one, to Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, and then also to Mark chapter 10. We're going to look at that just in a couple of minutes. And that's also going to be on the screen if you don't have a Bible today and you're not saved yet. You didn't bring a Bible to church. I understand. No, I understand. That's the way things are. God spoke a word picture to us at the beginning of this month. And I don't know if it's for the whole year. I believe it could be for the whole year. It's certainly for the season that we're in. I know that that of a tailwind. A tailwind is a wind that blows in the direction you are going and increases your speed. It's usually an airplane. You know, on an airplane, increases your speed and reduces the time required to reach a destination. We like to hear that from the captain because we know that we're going to get there sooner than we thought. I want to get to where I'm going sooner. Who wants to get there sooner? Not necessarily heaven. I guess you're like, oh, I'll put my hand down for that. Whatever, God, if you want to take me sooner, great. But God has got some good plans for us. I know that as a church, when he's speaking something to us as a church, he's probably speaking it to you as an individual as well. And even if you're visiting with us today, he's speaking it to you because you showed up. It's not by accident that you're here today. The church is going through a really great time of fruitfulness, and it's probably because of our new assistant pastors, Thomas and Christian. I have to say that for you. Christian's parents are here today. Would you just stand just for a minute so everyone can say, give them a big hand. We're doing a lot of clapping today. Sister is not as important, I guess, as the parents. You just were a part of the family. And then the friends, nice to have you. But God is doing something at New Song, and I don't even have to be careful to do this, but I was going to say I'm super careful to not take any credit from God because when we give God glory for what he does, he does more. He blesses. And I'm smart enough to know that God works through weaknesses, not through strengths. And so if he's working, it's because we're just letting him do his thing and we're staying out of the way. How many are staying out of the way and let God do his thing in this church? Amen. I would ask this. How many would be open to let God use you to even cause more fruitfulness in our church? Amen. Amen. At men's retreat yesterday, I was challenging the men that it's not my responsibility only to when we have a new person come or, you know, because we have a lot of new people come into our church that I just talk to them. If the family is a family, they all talk to them. We need all your help. We need your anointing. We need your gifts. In Jesus' name, I'm just kind of speaking from what I feel the Spirit is saying, but that is a word for you. Get off your, if that's what you need to do, okay? I know these chairs are cushy, but you know what we're thinking about doing is getting some smaller ones that aren't so cushy because they're double wide and there's not enough room in the room for the people. And so we're going to probably get some smaller ones. So get off your, anyways, okay? Off your butts. That's what I was going to say. I wasn't going to say a bad word there. Philippians 1, chapter 1, verse 6 in the English Standard Version. I like it in this, and I want to read it in this because everyone knows it in the New King James Version, usually the King James, and it says this, I am sure of this. This is Paul talking to some people, and I believe that he's talking to us as well, and I believe God is talking to us. I am very sure of this. In other words, I'm not sure of some things. When I look across this church of Philippi, or when I look across the church of Colorado Springs or United States or very specifically here, New Song, you know, I wonder about some people. I wonder what's going, you know, right? But I am sure of this, folks, okay? I am positive of this, that he who began a good work in you, I hope I'm going to hear amen, will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Just as your captain might say, we are flying at 40,000 feet, and the sky is. I've never been in a captain, but sky is clear, and we're very sorry that we left the gate late tonight. I know that some of you are really mad. They're in row Roe Crouch. Is that I know that you're not happy right now, but it looks like we are going to make up for some lost time because we have a tailwind and everyone cheers. Just like the captain would say that, I'm here to tell you that your captain, with a capital C, would like to inform you that you are going to make up for some lost time. How many would like, you can't tell me that. You don't know that. You don't know me. You don't know what I'm going through. I know that if you focus your attention and your priorities and your eyes on Jesus, He will be faithful to complete in you, and He will do it faster. I know that some of the past you would say, well, look at this. What happened here? Well, I would say to you, and it may not even been your fault, but it might have been your fault. What about you? Wait, maybe that's why you were wandering. The Israelites, was it their fault? Probably a little bit. Yeah, it was their fault. They were disobeying. I promise you this next year is, if you have a prayer request that you've been waiting to hear the answer to, it's going to happen this year. As you pray and as you are faithful and as you are expectant of what Jesus can do. Now you have a decision to make. Will I receive this or will I not? I don't know who you are. I don't know if you know what you're talking about. Well, let this be a word from Jesus to you, from the Bible, that He is faithful to complete it in you. This year is going to be a year of, you almost are afraid to say the year of favor because of how people allocate this promise from God. Well, I'm going to get a Cadillac this year and a brand new jet, and I'm not going that way. But I am saying you can have a year of favor and not get overboard and unbalanced and asking for big mansions and things. God can bring favor to you this year. This is going to be a good year for you. Tailwind. I'm only on my first sentence, and I just can't get off it. I just can't get off it because I think someone needs to be encouraged. In the room today, Elijah, you're smiling. You don't need to be encouraged, honey. I got it. Say amen. You're a favor. Would you say it? Okay. Many of you will reap where you didn't sow this year. Many of you will see the fruit of years of planting and watering. How many have done this where you just plant, 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 water, 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 wait, 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 wait. Oh, my gosh. Faithful, faithful, faithful. Greg Johnson says this often, faithful, 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 faithful. Fruitful, faithful, 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 faithful. Faithful, 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 years, 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 years. And then all of a sudden, fruitful. This year is going to be one of those kind of years for you. Your search for your sweet spot will come to pass. And I believe for some of you that sweet spot that we've been talking about where God just, your passions, your unique calling, all of those things come together, I believe it's going to be closer than you thought. It's going to be right under your nose. I believe you might even almost already be in it, doing it. You just didn't realize that God was behind it because you're not giving Him the glory. I want to title this message, Jump on the Plane. A little corny. Jump on the plane. The tailwind is coming. Lord, we thank you for this time. I pray that you would anoint this next few minutes before we leave this place, Lord, that you would narrow cast to each one of us what you are wanting to tell us. You know, people will say, I'm still talking to God, but people will say that, you read my mail. Lord, you are the one that reads the mail. I pray that you would read each person's mail in this room today as we share and we talk about the Bible, because you care about us and you want us to hear from you today in Jesus' name. I don't know if you like flying in airplanes. Some of you have anxiety about it, but I used to fly a lot with a ministry called J-12, and we'd go many places. And one of the things that I hated the most about it was that we had a lot of carry-on bags. We had video equipment and display stuff that you would not check, and instruments and things. And I would inevitably be tasked with carrying way too many carry-on bags through the thing. And we had a little pass with United, so they knew you're going to be bringing a bunch of stuff, and we had a place to put them. But when you're walking through the airport and you got all this stuff, you're just like, oh, mate, oh my gosh, this is too much. And I remember a day where I was late on a connecting flight, and I was getting to the place. I was going to the other side of the terminal. It was probably in Denver in this gigantic terminal, and I'm running to the gate, and I could literally see the gate ahead of me, and I see the lady like closing it, locking, like it was well done. I'm sure like the plane had already left, and she's like, you know, doing this stuff, and take, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm coming, wait, and you just do it everything you can. And sometimes when you know there's not another flight that day, and you're running, and I just felt like throwing like the bags that I'm running with, and I almost felt like I'm in slow motion getting to her, wait, and right when I get to her, she's like, oh yeah, we're so sorry, the plane is gone, you had no chance of making it, I heard you way back there, and there was no way, I knew, you need to be here much earlier, I don't know, you know, it says it come an hour early for your flight, I'm like, I don't even live here, I was coming from another flight on your plane, ma'am, and I'm so sorry that your plane was late, and it's in those moments you wish you were traveling lighter. And I think God would speak to us not to get so concerned with our own plans, our own talents, our own things, our own stuff, our own ideas, our own expectations, our own what we want, our own stuff, our own whatever it is for you. We get so concerned with our own things. That we miss out on the right place that we're supposed to be with God. And we can't run because we got too much on us. We're carrying too much, too many bags. I don't know what the bags represent to you. Maybe the title should be carrying too many bags or baggage or something like that. But maybe your baggage is anxiety or depression or frustration or discouragement or defeat or shame. Yesterday we got God ministered to our men about shame. I don't know if it's complacency. I don't know if the reason you can't run fast, the reason you can't find your sweet spot is because you're just kind of lazy. You're just kind of like, whatever, I'm just going to go status quo. I've been a Christian my whole life, and it's worked out pretty good for me, so I'll just wait till heaven comes. No, that's not what it's about. It's not just to wait till heaven comes. Well, yes, we are supposed to believe that Jesus is a soon-coming king. Yes, he's coming soon, but you know that your goal in this life is not just to get out of here and get to heaven. Your goal, God's got assignments for you. He's got plans, and I'm not just saying, oh, go evangelize. Yes, that's part of it. You need to be telling people about Jesus. But every single day, there is someone God puts in your path. God puts people in our path that we're supposed to meet at the well. We're supposed to do what Jesus did on this earth. Yet we think we discount our lives to just be getting by. When literally every day, I believe, there is an assignment for all of us. This is very disheartening to hear, because how many days do you go and you don't do anything for Jesus, right? And it's like, oh, man, I'm so depressed. I need to do better. Yes. But, you know, when you do things for when you open your eyes to see how Jesus sees, your life will be so much more enjoyable, because sometimes you have to do things you don't want to do. But other times, it'll be so, you'll feel so fulfilled because you're doing what Jesus has asked you to do. The rich man that we talked about not too long ago, we're going to look at him for a minute. He had a lot of bags. He was like me running through the airport in some ways, and he did not make it to his destination. And it was because he just had too much going on in his life. It says this in Mark chapter 10, verse 17. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him, fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus was already reading the guy's mail. And I think I talked about this a few weeks ago, but he said, why do you call me good? And I'm always like wondering, Jesus, why do you say things like this? Because it just messes with people. Because like as a kid, I was always like, well, Jesus is good. How many know Jesus is good? Jesus is good all the time, you know. And he says, no one is good except God. The thing is, he knew this guy was coming to a teacher. He thought that Jesus was an ordinary man. He thought he was coming to him to get some insight about who God was. He didn't realize he was God. So he just says, no one's good. God's the only one good. You know the commandments. He's already almost dismissing this guy. You know the commandments, and you barely do them. And even when you do them, your heart is not there. You put your money in the offering, you do that, but your heart is not there. And he says this, you shall not murder, verse 19. You shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony, you shall not defraud, honor your father and mother, teacher. The man says, I did all these things. I've done these things. He was probably lying at the time. He probably was. Jesus probably knew it too. Done all of these things. But Jesus could see right through him. He knew this rich man in the Bible knew that he brought too many bags with him on the trip. And he knew this guy was never going to catch his plane. He was never going to see a tailwind come in his life because he had too much stuff. And there's nothing wrong with too much stuff. How many would love to have too much stuff? Like to be a rich man like this guy. This guy was supposedly like in our day, he would be like a billionaire. Like he was like completely like out of his mind rich. I don't mind. God doesn't mind that as long as we bring him glory through our gifts. That's where our sweet spot comes when we bring him glory. This man, priorities all wrong. Jesus looked at him and said, one thing you lack, my friend, and here it comes. And he says that to us, and I know that I said the same thing to you a number of weeks ago, but it doesn't hurt to remind you to be careful to let go of things. And he says, one thing you lack, go sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And then, why don't you come follow me? Okay. This is God speaking right now. If the man only knew who was talking to him, he might have done something different. But it says the man was very sad. His face fell, and he went away sad because he had too many bags. He had too many bags. The plane was taking off, and he would have to be left behind. We fly Frontier a lot. How many have flown Frontier? Airlines, a wonderful airline. I like it because we don't care often like what we're wearing when we go see our family in Arizona. We'll just wear whatever. And it's free, like the bags cost like everything costs. Like if you bring your phone, we're going to charge you for your phone. So you have to hide your phone. You put your extra pair of pants in your pocket and you put your stuff, you know, and you go in and you're like, hi, nice to have you, right? And you go in and, we don't mind it because we've gotten used to flying light. Like everyone, we pack all in like one person. It's probably embarrassing, but we do it, and it makes it easier to get where we're going. And God is calling us to run in our lanes, and too much baggage may keep you from running fast. Like Paul says, run the race. And if you're going to run the race, everyone's a winner. So good job. Thanks for participating. Everyone wins. No, he says, run the race and run it in such a way as to get the prize, as to be the winner. He's asking us to actually strive to do something. It's not handed to us. Now our salvation is handed to us by God if we just receive it. But there's more to this race. There's a prize for us. There's one of the prizes. It's called the Stephanos. That was what I was named after, Stephen. The Stephanos is in the Olympics, and they said that's just the crown of glory that the Bible talks about. It's the crown for the one who wins the race, wins the decathlon. God wants us to run in such a way as to win. And if you're running in the marathon just to get done and get your participation medal or ribbon, That's not the Christian walk. The Christian walk is a run, and it's a run to win, and it's a run with endurance, and it's a run with training, and it's a run with discipline, and it's not easy. Well, thank you. You just discouraged me. I'll go home now. Yes, it is tough, but God is on the other side, and he rewards us, and that's where his disciples were, because they said something to him. They said, let me find it. Verse 21, Jesus looked at them. One thing you lacked. The man had a lot of bags, right? Verse 27, then Jesus said to his disciples, it's almost impossible for a rich man. Then it is almost impossible for a rich man to get into the kingdom. I believe that's verse 27. Keep going. Verse 27. It's impossible for a rich man to get in the kingdom. Almost saying it's impossible for someone with a lot of bags to get on the plane. They're never going to make it. And then Jesus' disciples said to him, we left everything. Peter said, we left everything. Verse 27. Sorry, folks. Sorry, Rachel. Verse 27. Peter said to him, we left everything to follow you. What will we get out of it? I have a lot more here, and that I'm skipping, and I'm not telling you. You can't see what I'm thinking in my mind, so I'm just skipping ahead to verse 27. What do we get out of it? And Jesus could have answered them by saying, you have been running the race. You have been running as in such a way to win. You've been following me. What you get as your reward is a tailwind. I'm going to blow and the Spirit's going to work through you, and you're going to win the prize. And the way Jesus said it in verse 29 is this. Verse 29. And anyone who gives up his home, I don't like this verse. Maybe we won't use it. Maybe I'll just... Is there a way to just rip? It's right in the middle, so I can't rip it out of my Bible, but it would rip the whole page. But anyone who gives up his home, his brothers, his sisters, well, some of you would like to give up your brother or sister, but his father, mother, wife, children, or property to follow me shall receive 100 times as much in return and shall have eternal life. This is kind of our goal, living for Jesus, is to be this answer from Jesus. Not the answer that he gave the rich man, sell it all and come follow me. His disciples had already done that, and he says, your reward is 100-fold. We don't, as Sina said something similar to this, we don't serve God so that we can get 100-fold. I want 100-fold. I'm getting it. We don't do it for that reason, or else your heart is in the wrong place. We do it because Jesus is awesome and we love him. He caused us to love him because he loved you. He loved you first. He loved you first. And because he loved you first, you're like, I hate him. No, you can't do that. And I'm speaking to someone right now. This is not part of the thing, but someone needs to hear this. You can't say to Jesus, you hate him. You can't say, you could say, I hate the church. You can say, I hate the church people. I hate the Christians. I mean, you're not supposed to say that, but you might be thinking that, and then you think you hate Jesus. And I want to tell you something. If you're in this room today, and you are, because it's for someone, someone here today, when Jesus says he loves you, that the reason you love him is because he loves you. Well, it seems simple enough. But you can't not love him. He loves you no matter who you are. He loves you the way you are. He loves you in all of your messiness. He loves you the way you are. He loves you in all of your sin. He loves you with all of your bags. In fact, I think he even said to that rich man, if you want to look back, you don't have to go there, but he said it, looked at him, and he loved him. He looked at him, and he loved him, and then he said, sell your possessions. Today, God is looking at you, and he loves you, and your response to him is not, I hate you. Your response to him, I have no idea what I'm saying, but this is for someone. Your response to him is not, I hate you. You need to tell him you love him. You watch what happens. Because he loved you and you say back to him, you love him, you watch what happens. It's called a friendship. It's called a relationship. It's called something real takes place. And then you begin to understand what it means. Well, I love him. Well, I guess it sounded crazy to follow him before, but I love him. I'm going to do what he said. The Bible said this. I'm going to do what he says. Be careful, like when it says, if you don't love your brothers and sisters, it's not saying hate your brothers and sisters. The translation there, leaving brothers, sisters, everyone behind, sometimes you do have to do that. I know many of you have done that in this room. You've left others behind because you're serving Jesus, because they didn't understand what you were doing. We don't understand that in America because everybody's a Christian here. In other countries, there are many that understand they had to say goodbye. I mean, literally cut off ties with anyone they knew because they served Jesus. But what he's saying here also is priority. Mother, brother, sister, brother, everything else is second. I am first in your life. I'm not a dictator. I'm not doing it because I'm mad at you. I'm not doing it because I'm afraid that you won't serve me. I'm doing it for your own good. Put me first and watch. I'm your father. Watch what I want to do for you. Just watch the tailwind. Watch how fast your run is, how easy it is, and watch how you are able to take pleasure in the things that you do because you have given it to God. You've given your whole life to God. Well, I've done that, and I don't feel a tailwind. I don't feel his favor. I don't feel his love. I feel condemned. I feel separated. I feel lonely. Maybe you haven't told him. Maybe it hasn't come to that spot in your life. This is the whole, this is completely not here, but it's what God is saying to you. You haven't come to the place of really loving him. You love him, and you'll do anything for him. You'll do anything. It's an encouraging word. It's not discouraging. Just watch what happens. If you're missing out on the fullness of life, that you wonder why people are excited and that it's an adventurous life, why do they do this? It's because they have found a love relationship with Jesus. I have found this. I would not do anything else with my life. There are so many. I'm not talking about preaching. I'm talking about serving Jesus. There are so many people, people that seem to be having a lot of fun, seem to be doing a lot of neat things, and they say that they're having great time. I am not a bit tempted by almost any of them because they just don't know how fulfilling this life is that I have. It is the best. It is the best. Yes, we have problems. Yes, we have issues. Yes, we miss our plane at times. But when you let go of all the stuff, the baggage, and you put Jesus first, I love my wife. I love my family. I love my church. I love the Jayhawks. But when you put Jesus first, everything works out. I love my wallet. I love what's in. I love my phone. That was back there too. I love my wallet. I love what's in it. I love my paycheck. But I have no problem. I mean, it's easy for me. I work at a church. But I have no problem giving to God what he deserves because I just love him and he blesses me. He always outdoes me. And the thing is, he even does it even when I'm not doing it for that reason. I'm just doing it because I love him. It's worship. It's worship. So, would someone come up and play, and we'll close our service today. If you are surrendered in 2019, the days are behind you of wandering and wondering. 2019 will be a year where you will feel God's pleasure in your race, and you will run fast. I will say that again to you. 2019 will be a year. If you're new here today, and maybe you'll never come back, but if you're new, I don't always say this. I'm very positive, but I feel this is a word for our church, and it's important that you get it in January, in the most depressing week of the year. 2019 will be a year of the tailwind in your life. You'll run fast. You'll feel God's pleasure in your race. But he's asking you to lay down your stuff. He's asking you to surrender. He's asking you to jump on the plane. The tailwind is coming. Get on before it's too late. Thing is, it probably will never be too late for you. God is always gracious. He'll always wait for you. He'll never be like the United Airlines where they shut the door in your face. He will always have the door open for you. Well, what if I just can't find my sweet spot? What if I just can't find where God gets the most glory in my life? Because I'm confused. I have a lot going on. What if I don't get there? What if I need to be in the center of his will? I want to love him. I want him to love me. I want us to have this. How do I do this? It's not hard. He's your father. He'll make sure you get there. But the four things that we've talked about this month are this. Surrender. When your life is surrendered, when you're open to let him have glory, not you have the glory. Well, I want to thank the Lord for everything he's done because I'm so great. Thank you, Lord. You're so great. It's not me, guys. It's not me. It's and you almost want to say to people like that, you're not that great. You're pointing it to God, and yeah, it's not definitely not you or God. Like give God the glory. Make sure you give him the glory. Make sure you're surrendered. Make sure you're traveling light. You'll never remember these things. Get the podcast and write them down, or write them down now. Make sure you're traveling light, without baggage. And then pursue him, like we talked about last week. Pursue him all by yourself. I'm going. I'm going to win this race. I do that to keep your attention. But this is not a run to run it all by yourself. Pursue him in the context of a body of believers who are going to encourage you and cheer you on and help you get there, or it won't happen. It won't happen. I've never seen someone do it by themselves. Never seen someone do it by themselves. I'm finished. God, what do you want to say to us today? What is God saying to you today? I can't give you the challenge for you. Your challenge is different than anyone else's. Maybe the challenge for you is to move to Colorado Springs. I'm just kidding. But I would love it. Maybe your challenge is to serve in ministry. Maybe it's to start a business or start a nonprofit, or what God asked you to do 2 months ago when God spoke to us this way. Remember? Some of you, he's waiting for that. When are you going to do that? Maybe it's write a book. Maybe it's write a song. Maybe it's to talk to your neighbor. Maybe it's to get in church. Maybe it's to get faithful to God and watch what he does in your life. Maybe it's to put your priorities straight. See, it could be anything for anyone in the room. If I'm specific, you like, tell me exactly what it is, and then I'll think about doing it. No, God's already told you what it is. You're one thing. Jesus said to the man, he looked at him, he said, one thing you lack. What is it? What is it that you need to do? I'm going to read a song to you, the words to a song. I heard it last couple weeks ago, and it kind of summarizes keeping us not worried that we're going to mess up with God's doing, because he's always working in us. And before I read it, I'm going to have you bow your heads for a minute. You know you have something to surrender to God. I could have you all come up to the microphone, and that'd be a powerful time. It would take way too long, though. Everyone to say, well, I'm surrendering this. I'm going to start doing this. I'm going to whatever. I'm going to go on a diet. I'm going to go to the gym. All those things can be very spiritual, actually, because it's putting Jesus first in your body, whatever it is. Would you tell him right now? And I told the men at retreat to write some things on their phone. Maybe even that would be something you should do. If you got out your phone right now, this is kind of weird. But if you want to do this on your notes section, you want to write something down. You say, I'm giving up this, or this is the one thing. Maybe you're not sure exactly what it is yet. But God will let you know. Who's open to whatever God wants for you? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. You see our hands open to you. You see our hands raised. And we say, help us. Oh, this is kind of selfish, God, but help us to love you more. You know, we know you love us, but help us to love you more. We give up the things in our lives that shouldn't be there. In Jesus' name, amen. This is a song by Josh Wilson. It's called Dream Small, and the idea of the song is not that small things are often... The idea of the song is that small things are often the big things that you put in the center of your sweet spot. If you're wondering if you're in the center of God's will, it's often those small things that you do every day that is going to get you right where you need to be. It's very encouraging from, I feel like I might have been hard on some of you today. This will encourage you today because it's probably happening right under your nose. God's got things for you to do, and you're doing them. You just got to be obedient to him. It says this. There's no way you can see those words, huh? This. It's a mama singing songs about the Lord. It's a daddy spending family time that the world said he couldn't afford. These simple moments change the world. Dream small. Don't bother like you've got to do it all. Just let Jesus use you where you are, one day at a time. Live well, loving God and others as yourself. Find little ways where only you can help. With his great love, a tiny rock can make a giant fall. Dream small. It's visiting the widow down the street or dancing on a Friday with your friend with special needs. Of course, there's nothing wrong with bigger dreams. Just don't miss the minutes on your way, your bigger things. No. Because these simple moments are the things that change the world. Love, serve, pray, watch them grow bigger. The God who does all things makes oceans from rivers. Dream small. Don't bother like you got to do it all. Just let Jesus use you where you are. Would you stand? Maybe that touched you. Maybe you said, oh, I don't like that song. But some of you, you got into that. Cynthia would have loved that. Too bad she's not here to hear it, but I'll preach it to her today. We search and strive, God, to find our sweet spot, and we know that you care. And I pray that you would help us in those little moments every day where the sweetness comes through you using us. Help us to be available to you. Lord, I don't know what you've challenged each person to do in this room today, but I pray that we would be obedient to you. I pray that we would be faithful to you. And I pray that we would respond to you so that your tailwind will blow in our lives and that you will be glorified in all that we do in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Say hello to a few people today. God bless you. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening today. Remember, God wants to do the impossible through you and me. We encourage you to become a deeper part of what we are doing. Visit us at newsongcs.com and become a giver to the New Song Foundation and an investor in bringing this message of Jesus across the world. God bless you.